CTV.
Welcome everybody. This is Martin Zender, and I am in beautiful South Florida, which is my home. But as you can see, I have two lovely guests. Well, one is lovely. One's just handsome, I guess. This is Matthew Holland and his mother, Nancy Holland. Welcome to everyone. They are here to visit, do some visiting in Florida, and they have graciously taken time to come here and visit me because they know I'm dying of loneliness down here, and so they have mercy on me. And they have come down here, and Matthew is here with his daughter, Hedvig. And she is, she's a gorgeous girl. What would you like to say about her? I wish she was, I'd really love to get her on the show, but she's watching a movie now, but.
Well, she's a little energy ball.
She is an energy ball.
Say yeah, that. She's 7 years old and keeps us hopping.
I had three sons, and I could have put a daughter in there. I could have used a daughter. That would have been nice. Now, I want to talk about your religious background, how you came to the truth, because I know that you raised this young man in the Worldwide Church of God.
Yes, I did.
Yes, and this is the time where we recognize that God is sovereign,
mm-hmm.
right? And so many people I know, they've gone through a organized religion, and they look back, and they spent years in it, right,
mm-hmm.
Nancy? But when they come to learn the sovereignty of God, they come to realize that every single thing is necessary. How many years were you in the Worldwide Church of God, and what did this young boy think about it when he was being raised in it?
Well, it was a little difficult sometimes for the kids because, and coming into the truth is not difficult for us because we were considered weird back then.
Oh, you were already weird, huh?
Yeah, we were already weird, so it's not a difficult transition. But anyway, with the boys, you know, they had to forego some things in school because we kept the Sabbath, which started on Friday evenings at sunset, and so it kept them out of some things. But we had a very active congregation. We had a very active congregation, so they had a lot of friends in the church and had a lot of activities. And going to the feast, they were able to go to a lot of different places and be around a lot of different people. So my boys grew up being comfortable with little kids and old people and in between. They were very social.
Yes.
And I was grateful for that. And I don't regret my time in Worldwide because it brought us to where I am now and he.
Yes, everything is necessary. And I am going to talk about your two have a really, I think, healthy relationship spiritually. But it's probably sometimes was a strain growing up. Did you like being in the Worldwide Church of God when you were a kid? And tell me a little bit about it. And this is like the Jerry Springer show. Were there any conflicts you felt with your mother?
Yeah, I mean, it's like that when you're in any legalistic system. It was very old covenant related and focused on the law a lot. And everyone was doing works to seek their own righteousness. And
did you ever make it? Did you ever do enough works to get your own righteousness?
No.
No?
And you always had doubt and fear and anxieties about that. And there was a lot of guilt trips.
Oh, and who sent you on the guilt trips? You looked over at your mother. Did you send him on guilt trips?
Well, it was funny, you know, because not everything we learned in Worldwide was wrong. And we would have discussions about behavior or things that I expected of them. And then we'd go to church, and the minister would wind up talking about the same things. And my boys would start looking at me like, have you talked to him? You know. But the boys were real good the whole time we were in there. I didn't have a problem with Matthew till he graduated high school.
Oh.
So they were very good kids.
She didn't have a problem with you until you graduated with high school.
That was pretty.
What happened when he graduated from high school?
I'll let him tell you.
What happened when you graduated from high school?
I just lived in the world for the next 12 years or so.
Okay, we'll do a separate show about this.
Yeah, just doing my own thing and. I always held on to a belief in God, but never really pursued it. And until later, I was about 30 when I came back to seeking truth and seeking God.
did you let him go? Like, was he getting rebellious and you just figured at this point it's there's no gain for me to keep him in the Worldwide Church of God? Did you encourage him to find his own way?
I had, we quit the Worldwide Church of God in the late 90s, so he had already been gone for a few years. We kind of quit it. And I didn't try to keep him in the church, and I didn't badger him about it. I would talk to him about things, and I would cry when I saw him going down the wrong path and talk to him about that. But, you know, I knew he was an adult and had to make his own choices. You know, God was going to put him on a path that he needed to be on to learn what he needed to learn.
That's very mature. That's
very mature. Then came the ironic situation of me sharing with her later.
Yes, this has been a big turnaround, and I want to ask you, who came to this truth first? Truth of the sovereignty of God, the salvation of all, and you did.
I did.
How did that happen, and what happened with your mother when that happened?
I hit kind of I wouldn't say I hit bottom, but I hit kind of a lonely, kind of strange time in life, and I just felt him calling me back and asking me to seek him out again, and I said, all right, I'll do the work. I actually spoke to him and said, I'll do the work, but I want truth. Because I grew up in the cult of Worldwide, and I had researched all different religions and different things in the years previous, and I just didn't find anything of truth. There was little seeds of it felt truth, but nothing really resonated. And so I said, okay, I know you exist, but I want truth. And it was a steady progression over about a 6-7 year period of time to bring me out of all of that into an understanding of hell and free will and God's plan for mankind, and then eventually the Gospel of Paul. And all along those years I was sharing with her, and she thought I was crazy most of the time, and she was even more worried about me, because now no longer was I just a guy in the world that she could maybe save, but I was going in a different direction than her, and she just thought, oh Matthew, crazy about these different ideas. Yeah. And I just kept at it, because she's my mom, you know. Normally you share with somebody a couple of times, and if they don't get it, you move on. And but she's my mom, so I'm always going to tell her what's going on in my life. And one day it clicked for her, and I'm really happy it did.
So am I. Now, he said that you at first were a little concerned about your little boy here. How bad was it when you found out that he was saying things like, God is the savior of all humanity? What was your initial reaction to that?
I think my biggest reaction was when he shared with me that Christ was not God, that he was the created being
and the Son of God.
And the Son of God, like he always told you he was.
Yeah, his own words, that's right.
Christianity doesn't believe him, you know.
No, they don't believe him. They know better than he does.
Yeah. So they're going to, like you said, improve his resume.
Yes.
It doesn't need improving. So that was the biggest one that he shared with me that got the biggest reaction. I was just shocked, you know, that he said that. And that concerned me. And I'm so happy to have the truth. And it hit me, you know, boom. We were riding in the car one day, and we were talking about things that confused me about Christianity, the things they believed, you know, why, you know, we hear about, you know, faith without works is dead. And then we hear in Paul, you know, that it's apart from works. And also about the building of the temple in the end times the going back to the sacrifices during the 1,000-year reign. That didn't make sense to me. I thought, that's going backwards. What are we doing? So, you know, it just, when he had shared with me about the salvation of all, and especially when he shared with me the two gospels, it just hit me like a ton of bricks, and my jaw dropped, and all of a sudden, it's like, it makes sense now.
And I think you actually uttered those classic words, at least you told me that. You said, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
The foremost spiritual words that I've ever heard.
Yeah, it all makes sense now.
And Worldwide, though, did give you a good background of the Old Testament. I mean, you knew, and you know the Old Testament really well. Tell me a little bit about the value of that. Because I know there's a lot of people watching here that they also have been through years through religions, and it's all part of the walk, man.
Yeah, you have kind of a more vivid understanding of the difference between law and grace, and what it's like to live under law You can understand, like, when Paul talks about, you know, living under the law of Moses, and then now that he's under grace, and that he counts all of his previous knowledge and experience as nothing compared to the knowledge of Christ under in the glorified Christ in the gospel of justification through Christ. I had a greater appreciation for that understanding. And it answers a lot of questions regarding the things that are taught through the Gospels and through Paul's writings as well.
Yeah, and you never gave up on your mom, did you? It was frustrating at times. I mean, this is an intelligent woman. We all know that, obviously. But was it frustrating at times when you couldn't quite get through, and were you wondering if it was God's plan to give it to her?
Well, like I said, I was resolved to think that it wasn't for her in this age, but I wasn't gonna stop, because she would always listen to me, because she's my mom. She was interested to hear what I had to say, even though it, like, sometimes threw her for a loop. But that's why I continued. If she had really reacted in a negative way, I might have let it go a little bit. But she was always interested to hear what I had to say and would always comment about it. And this, so I was thinking, okay, maybe I'll just keep whittling away at it and see if it clicks at some point. And it, you know,
it clicked. And you were in your car. Was he on the phone with you at the time?
No,
were you just meditating, you and God?
No, it was Matthew and I in the car together.
Okay.
And we were discussing religion and different things. And that's when he shared the two Gospels with me. And that's when things fell into place. It was wonderful. And it's such a load off your shoulders when you realize how free you are and how much God really loves you.
And now you two are on this walk together. Did I mention this to the folks? Matthew lives in Norway.
Yes.
And he has a wife and his beautiful daughter, Hetty. They live in Norway. You've gotten to see him a few times. You've gone to Norway.
I've been there three times.
Three times. And Norway has come here. And you all have converged to Florida. Nancy has come from Arkansas, and this young man all the way from across the pond. I want to close with this, Matthew. I want to ask you about, there's a few people that you have managed, of course, speaking relatively, to introduce the truth to a few people in Norway, and everybody loves to hear about more believers coming into the faith. So tell us a little bit, and so I know they're watching now, so greetings to everyone in Norway.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about some of the people there that believe.
Well, the short version is, when I did start seeking again years ago, I was a bit lonely in that search, and it's very difficult in Scandinavia to find people that are interested in talking about the Bible or God or anything. So there was a Baptist group that I went to, and I met somebody, and they invited me to this Pentecostal Bible study at somebody's apartment, and I started hanging out with this group of people. But and I'd already gotten through hell, free will, universal salvation at this point, and I didn't agree with just anything they were saying. They were street preaching, and it was all hell and free will and stuff. And I don't know, I was just, they enjoyed talking about God in the Bible, so I don't know, I was just hanging out with them. And this one girl, believer in she's a believer now, Mariana. Hi, Mariana. She was having some issues with their teachings on hell and concerns about family and friends and whatnot. And I just shared with her, by the way, I can show you that it's not defined as Christianity defines it. And my buddy Eric, who's my friend and believer
Eric's,
now.
Eric's been here. I interviewed Eric. He was on the show time.
It was his Bible study. It was hosted at his apartment. And he got wind of what I had shared with her. And rather than get hostile with me and run me off, he invited me to share what I was sharing with her, with the whole group. So I did. I just read the word. I didn't give opinions or anything. I just sat down and went through Bible verse after Bible verse, and their reactions were kind of interesting, because I'd read something and then they'd go, and then I'd read something else and they go,
That's a good reaction.
Yeah, it is a good reaction.
It could be worse.
And to God's glory, many of them in the group picked up on it, and Eric's a brother in Christ to this day. And it's ironic because God always allows us to learn from other people. And it's Eric who turned me on to you. He contacted me.
Tell that story.
I'd given him the understanding of that we're not we don't have free will in the hell and universal salvation, but he shared with me the Gospel of Paul, the two Gospels, and I had kind of a strange reaction to hearing that the first time. But I was still on this journey of learning and seeking truth, so I was open to look into it. But it took. I kind of read it and I set it aside. I watched one of your videos and I was like, and set it aside. And then, I don't know, I watched another video you did which was related to the two Gospels, and I can't even remember which one it was, but it was like her experience. It just clicks. When you see it, you can't unsee it, and you just get it. And then I just started devouring all of your material that you'd put out because it was really, it was very easy to listen to, very to the point and clear, and you had a good understanding of how to explain this to people in a common way that really reaches people. And I think God's given you a gift for explaining the things of the Bible in a way that just isn't with a lot of academic prowess in a kind of I don't know.
Condescending. A lot of the mainstream guys are
they're so condescending.
It's not even condescending. It's like I think in the back of their mind they have this idea that they have to. I think it comes from a heart. They think they have to speak in a respectful kind of way, and it's also some background stuff where they're kind of taught. They speak normally in their everyday life, and then as soon as they start, it gets. Yeah, you know, it's like it's part of them. They can't get rid of it.
Right.
And it's like, and the Lord said, you know, it's I respect it, but I don't. It doesn't reach me as easy, you know. It's like Christ reached people on the everyday basis, the common man, and spoke to them where they were. And I speak to people that way, and you speak to people that way, and it resonates with people, I think, a little easier. And so I'm grateful that God's given you that gift, and so it's great to just continue learning and sharing with each other, God's blessed me to be able to share with people. And when I understood this from Eric, I ran with it, and he and I have been kicking this around for years now, and he's rock solid in the faith, and I've shared with a few other people, and now I have another brother in my town, Johannes. Hi, Johannes.
Hey, Johannes.
Hi, Johannes.
And he's absolutely really, he gets it.
I love it.
He gets it, and I'm just really thankful for it all.
And Anthony in England, I want to say hello to Anthony.
We want to say hello to Anthony in England. Shout out to you. It's so heartening, isn't it, you two, to see that God is working all over the world, but it's just a few here, a couple there. We're very scattered, but I thank God for this technology that allows us to talk to you out there, the viewers watching us, and to understand that the mind of Christ is what we have been given. It's a gift, and it's a common mind because it's a common spirit. And when we get together, it just flows, doesn't it? Because we're all, as I said in a few shows ago, we're all reading the same score. We're all on the same sheet of music. And it's from the Spirit of God, and it's from our Apostle Paul via Jesus Christ. All right. Thanks for the fellowship. Thanks for taking the time to talk to me. Everybody appreciates hearing of others who share our faith. So
we're all in the same lifeboat.
We're all in the same lifeboat. That's right. Think the water's going to get choppy real soon. We all believe that. We have all been talking about end times, or should I say the final years of Millennium 6. And we all, this guy, we'll have to do, I might do a separate show. I'm going to grab him again. I want him to talk to you about the Jubilee years. This is what we're going to do. I've just figured that out. Matthew, you and I are going to do a show. It is going to, folks, when you hear this, it is going to just just confirm for you where we are on the Aeonian calendar, that Jesus Christ did tell us that he told Israel, and we're reading those words over his shoulder, that they will be able to know the times and the seasons. So these are amazing times to be alive. We're just sowing the days together, and it's nice to be able to do it with these two believers. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.